This is Upstate's HealthLink on Air. Linda Cohen here with you. Many more babies have been born to mothers who use prescription painkillers during pregnancy over the last decade in this country. And the number of babies born suffering from withdrawal symptoms due to their mother's use of these prescription painkillers more than tripled between 2000 and 2009, according to a study published in the Journal of the American Medical Association. We'll hear with more on this are Gail Bannock, the Director of Public Education and Communications for the Upstate New York Poison Center, and Dr. Roberto Martinez. He's the Neonatal Abstinence Program Coordinator for the Onondaga County Health Department and the Lerner Center of Syracuse University. Welcome to you both. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Gail, let me start with you. As a result of this increased usage, we now know that many babies are born addicted to drugs. Tell us more about that.
Well, unfortunately, if you increase availability, you increase access, and therefore you increase the number of people using. I mean, that just seems to make sense. So if the demand is there, you'll see an increase in numbers.
What happens with these babies, though? I mean, why is this of such concern?
Well, the babies, when they're born, go through a set of symptoms. Now, not every baby born to a mom who's addicted will go through neonatal abstinence syndrome, but the numbers that do experience a set of symptoms. And the symptoms vary, but they can include seizures. They can include, oftentimes when I talk to the neonatal nurses, they'll tell me that the babies are uncontrollable and they cry consistently.
And so they're hyper irritable,
yeah,
difficult to soothe.
Mm-hmm. Difficulty breathing. So there really are all kinds of problems, and there's a set of them. And as I said, not every baby experiences the same thing. But it's basically the baby's going through withdrawal.
In other words, they've been addicted as well.
Right. Well, unfortunately, in the world of abuse, the word addicted generally indicates that you've made a choice.
Right. So here,
so it's chemical dependency is what we refer to it as.
Exactly,
but yes.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they've been chemically dependent on these drugs. Dr. Martinez, what kinds of drugs are we talking about?
We are actually speaking of two main groups, perhaps. A group of women who are using illegal drugs, like marijuana, opioids, cocaine, or the drugs that are on the street, heroin, as the heroin increases in disponibility in our community. But there are also another group of women who are using medication that
prescribed
medication by their physicians, like to deal with the pain, for example. So both there are two groups that could be categorized as illegal drug use and non-illegal drug users, just prescription drug users.
But is there a difference when we talk about the effect on the developing fetus as to whether it's prescribed or not?
There is a difference depending on of what drug is being administered or what drug has been used by the mom and the effects that it can cause. However, we should say that the effects on the baby then at the end, even there are some inconclusive studies about some of the drugs. Some other drugs have very conclusive effects on the baby. We could say that there are developmental issues. There are cognition issues in the baby. At the end, what happens is that the quality of life of the baby is diminished as an adult.
So it's compromised in some way. It's just that in some cases we don't have hard data to support what the long-term effects of this kind of addiction, for want of a better term, chemical dependence for the correct usage. We don't really know what the long-term effects are, but the fact is it can't be good.
You got that right.
So why do you think, Gail, this is happening more now? You mentioned excess or accessibility. And does our local problem reflect what's going on in the country at large?
Well, I think in terms of the usage within the community, I think we have pockets, whether it's Onondaga County, as we talk to the DEA agents, they'll tell you what the drug of choice is. And throughout New York State, there were some Senate hearings that were held recently that senators asked the community to come and provide testimony as to what was going on in the communities and they invited experts from the community as well as the community personnel. And it was amazing to me as I attended all three of them. The stories might have been a little bit different, but the fact was there was an increased usage. Now, when we look at numbers think about Americans are about 4.5% of the population of the world, and yet we consume 80% of all the opiates.
Wow.
And we consume
that's staggering.
Yeah, and 99% of all the hydrocodone in the world.
And much of that is prescribed. Mm-hmm. When it comes to things like those are prescription drugs.
Right.
So there's been a lot of talk about the fact that there's been overprescription of those kinds of painkillers, and hence mm-hmm. addiction that follows. So in many cases, some of this is not as you made, I think, a very clear point, Dr. Martinez. Some of this is based on perhaps what started out as a real issue with pain and a request, in a legal sense, by a patient to a physician for help with that, and then an addiction follows, and then obviously if they're pregnant, it has the ramification of affecting the infant, the developing fetus, and that's, is it, would you say it's, what percentage would you say, or how would that break down, or you may not have that figure, but do you have a sense of where that is in terms of the prescription issue versus the illegal issue?
I don't think we have,
you don't have that
good
data.
Information. However, what we can say is that from the Onondaga County Health the health assessment that was conducted by the Onondaga County Health Department in 2013, what they found is that, like, in 2012, 9% of the women are self-reporting illegal drug use, not the prescribed medication, but illegal drug use. So at least we know that we have a sense of that issue. In terms of the prescribed medication, I think there's less data that we would be able to share at the moment.
Mm-hmm. What's mm-hmm. shocking to me, to be perfectly frank, is if you go to see a physician and you are given an opioid for pain, and then you end up addicted to that, one would think if you then became pregnant, all kinds of information you'd be deluged with all kinds of information about, hey, you must somehow stop using that medication because of the potential hazards. Is that not the case in your experience?
Well, it sounds like a perfect
story. Perfectly rational story.
But unfortunately, when you're talking about someone who's addicted,
they find ways.
The addiction takes over. So in many of the women that I've spoken to who are on either Suboxone or Methadone and in programs now, you know, they'll tell me stories of how they would do anything to get the drug and how, although they felt guilty, they didn't see a way out.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air. I'm Linda Cohen, and along with Gail Bannock, she's the Director of Public Education and Communications for the Upstate Poison Center, and Dr. Roberto Martinez, he's the Neonatal Abstinence Program Coordinator for Onondaga County Health Department and the Lerner Center at SU. We're talking about babies born addicted to drugs. Just tell me what's done for them now.
Well, first of all, Linda, I'd just like to point out the numbers because we haven't talked about that.
Please do.
In terms of the number of babies that are born, the studies that we've been looking at are roughly 26 babies born per 1,000 population
wow.
in Onondaga County,
wow.
which is the highest in the state. And unfortunately, although I honestly can't say I've done a comparative to in terms of which counties are higher throughout the United States, the number is up there, that's for certain. And so back when Dr. Morrow called attention to this.
Dr. Cynthia Morrow was
correct,
our health
with the health commissioner.
Right.
You really drove this program initially. And then the good news is the county stepped up with the finances to back it and with the manpower, realizing that this is really a problem. And the hospitals in the area agreed and that it was obviously a priority
so
for
them.
So
what's being done? I mean, obviously you find a baby's born, they've got neonatal abstinence syndrome. What's being done first for the babies and then, of course, for the moms? What's being done currently, medically?
Well, I think the first thing to know is that the clinical dependency or treatment of this dependency, moms are being put into as a priority. So one, a mom is detected to be a user, she can call a couple of phone lines where she's going to receive help, and then she would put in as one of the first on the list to receive like treatment. So currently we have about 300 people in the county who are expecting and waiting for treatment, who are not pregnant women, or it could be male too. So once a mom is recognized, she's put initially
to the head of the line
to receive treatment immediately.
And then, the treatment consists of?
The treatment consists of like basically changing or adding another kind, changing the kind of drug that she's using for like methadone, for example, which replacement therapy would be one of the like therapies used, but also counseling services. It's very important. So just to make sure that it's not only a clinical issue, but also making sure that a holistic intervention to the mom, helping her in as many areas as possible in her life.
So if there were social issues driving her, for example, to seek self-medication, you would be dealing with the whole person mm-hmm. and trying to figure out. But this idea of methadone's been used for decades and decades, probably more than 50 years, I think, as a replacement. It is non-addictive, is that correct? It's not non-addictive. It's you don't get a high from it, but it satisfies the craving, I guess. So it's seen as a lesser evil. Mm-hmm. And so that's where they begin with something like a methadone.
Yes, treatment. And you can also start to wean them off the drug little by little, and the effects are going to be less on the mom. And what the drug does is basically just to act on the same receptors in the brain that an illegal drug or even just another kind of medicated drug would use to.
So you're basically helping them get off
by mimicking
the affecting, offending drug. I guess the question, though, is, are you targeting mostly then moms who have not yet delivered or who are in the early stages of the development of the fetus? Or are you also working with moms who have delivered a baby who has this neonatal abstinence? And what happens then? It's similar.
The exciting news, Linda, is that all the hospitals now are on board. So at least we're starting with a top-down approach. And that there is recognition, whether it's from Senator Schumer's office or the Onondaga County Health Department or working in collaboration with Syracuse University. You know, we have people at the table, shall we say, working with all different groups throughout the county who, first of all, recognize the issue and are willing to put the efforts and the resources behind it to make a difference in the community. So there are many different types of efforts that are, for example, we look at from the DA's task force, the district attorney's office and the members of that committee work with the legislature, and over the course of 2 years, we have now seen a change in pharmacy take-back, amended DEA regulations that are going to allow pharmacies to take back drugs. Huge, as far as I'm concerned. Of course, reducing accessibility, reducing availability will hopefully help to reduce.
So let me just clarify that. I don't want to run out of time.
Sure.
There's so much to talk about. This take-back is if you, as a person, went to a doctor and got a certain opioid prescription and no longer needed it, instead
right.
of leaving it in your medicine cabinet, you could take it back to the pharmacy legally and they would take it back from you.
That is the way it's supposed to play out. Unfortunately, right now, there isn't any accountability in the bill for who is going to be responsible for paying for that. But the good news is moving forward. In addition to that, there have been educational opportunities for moms. So we've developed brochures, we've developed posters. So we're working forward, working with the community to help solve the problem.
So the basic bottom line, and I don't want to run out of time, is it isn't education as well as all the support you then will muster to help an addicted person. Isn't education of these moms crucial in terms of understanding what they could be doing to their babies?
It's very important, but I would say there the support system, there are so many issues that are involved in it. It isn't just one issue. We have to take a holistic approach.
Any last words?
I think that it is a hopeful environment at the moment when a lot of organizations are really collaborating among each other to be able to tackle the issue. And I think we're going to be able to see a reduction in neonatal abstinence syndrome and substance-exposed pregnancies as well.
Well, I want to thank you both for coming in. My guests have been Gail Bannock, the Director of Public Education and Communications for Upstate's New York Poison Center, and Dr. Roberto Martinez. He's the Program Coordinator, the Neonatal Abstinence Program Coordinator for Onondaga County Health Department and the Lerner Center of Syracuse University. Once again, thanks a lot for coming in.
Thank you, Linda.
I'm Linda Cohen. You're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air.